So, of course, we are here in the middle of the Farm Belt agriculture area here. This morning, according to UPI, President Ford handed down his 64th veto, rejecting the 1976 Agricultural Resources Conservation Bill to require the Soil Conservation Service to appraise the nation's land and water sources. He cited his reasons as it could create a brand new bureaucracy. Yesterday in Kansas, you said that you and President Ford are deeply concerned about the farm vote.
Right.
We're saying we're concerned about something, but we're not doing anything about it. Can you explain some of the reasoning behind this?
Well, I'd say, first of all, I'm not familiar with that bill, but I understand there's a constitutional question involved, a delegation of powers. And so we don't have to sign every bill, because it might refer to agriculture to be for the American farmer. I just think we have the right kind of a program, the right kind of approach, sort of a hands-off approach for agriculture. Let farmers produce, let them produce for a profit, with no interference, unfettered access to world markets. And I mean that, President Ford means that. I say we made a mistake on the embargo, but that's not going to happen again unless there's some rare emergency. So I think our general philosophy is more freedom. It's a more conservative philosophy to farmers. It's not tight controls and high price supports and grain reserves and all those things that Carter advocates.
Who would you like to see take over Mr. Butts' job?
I don't have any name in mind, but I would hope that there, and I know there are out there, a lot of very active farmers with farm backgrounds who would make outstanding secretaries. And it just seems to me that if you want the confidence of the farmer, to come from that sector, somebody who has an active farm interest, and as I said yesterday, has a little on his shoes and understands how it's all put together. In other words, he's been out there working on it. He knows how tough it is.
Now that you've had time to digest the debate situation with you and Mondale back in Houston, do you think your party has picked up any substantial support after the VPs got together and faced off?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to judge. I would say that I find a great deal more enthusiasm, whether it's recognition or whether it's the way we conducted ourselves. I don't know. I mean, there weren't any polls taken after, well, it wasn't a debate, after our little joint press conference. But I thought it was rather an entertaining evening from the standpoint. We tried to keep the people awake, and it was a very informative evening because I think we made points that we wanted to make. I assume Mondale made points that he wanted to make. But I was talking to the mothers and the young people out there about peace, and I was talking to farmers about the influence of organized labor, and I think I got most of my message across.
As you see it right now, what exactly is the job of the Vice President of the United States?
The job of the Vice President of the United States under any circumstance is, if you limit to constitutional grounds, is presiding over the Senate and voting in the case of a tie. And most vice presidents don't preside over the Senate much, and there are not many tie votes. So that gives you rather a short work week. So you take on additional duties on the Domestic Council, the National Security Council, and then you carry out other assignments the president may give you. He's talked to me about export, helping in the export field for agriculture commodities, sort of a super salesman, and also with reference to MIAs in Southeast Asia, missing in action Americans, trying to account for those. Beyond that, I've had no specific,
But overall, you don't see the job of the vice presidency under Ford as being a corner job, a closet type job?
Oh, no. I think, particularly with Ford, now I think Mondale and Carter don't know each other. They really only met each other a while back. I've known President Ford for 16 years, and we know each other. We know how to work with each other. We have worked with each other. I just don't see, and I'm not being critical, when you only know someone for a few weeks, it's pretty hard to delegate much authority.
Knowing President Ford as you do, what do you think he will concentrate on and try and make his biggest points on in this final debate?
I don't know. I would guess that he might focus very sharply on the direction we'll take the next 4 years, as far as more spending or less spending. He'll be for less. More government or less government, he'll be for less. A little more interference or less interference, and he'll be for less in the lives of Americans, whether it's gun control or forced busing or right-to-work laws or common situs picketing or grain reserves, everything the Democrats advocate, you lose a little freedom out of it. You lose a little of your liberty. Somebody else tells you what to do. That's their pitch, and I think President Ford is on the other side of that. I think he's going to articulate that on Friday.
Polls have come and polls have gone, saying
right.
Some showing Republicans ahead, some showing the Democrats ahead. Is it on a teeter-totter basis right now? Is there one thing that stands out that could sway this election one way or another? If there is, what is it?
Well, I don't know if there's one thing. I think the debate's going to be very important because people are expecting it now. It's been built up to the point that I think the American people will tune in on Friday. They've listened to the other two. They're probably going to make a judgment based on the third one. And then we're going to sustain that momentum. President Ford's going to be in the field, and I think we're going to pull it off. It's, you know, when you come from 30-some points behind to even, it's somewhat of a miracle, and we're going to complete that miracle on November 2nd.
Thank you, sir. You as a running mate, you may have had some impact on foreign policy. Since you were selected as a vice presidential candidate, import duties on sugar have been tripled. Meat import quotas have been imposed. And most recently, higher loan rates have been announced on grains and cotton. Did you have any input into these matters, and would you expect to have significant influence on foreign policy as vice president?
Well, I can't claim any input other than a letter on the first matter on sugar. But as far as beef import quotas and loan rates, I'll confess that trying to help the farmers. I talked to the president about that a number of times, and Secretary Butts when he was there, and I believe the president took the right action. I'm probably on the ticket partly because of my background in agriculture, and I know the president was very concerned that he might be charged with playing politics, but it seemed to me that it was the worst politics was to do nothing, because it was something that should be done. Congress didn't act on beef imports, and I think the president very properly acted on loan rates. As you know, he said when he vetoed the bill in May of this year that if prices went down, he would move, and I think he moved in the right direction. So I would say, yes, I've had some input, and I hope it's been constructive.
On the loan rates, Senator, there has been some criticism of loan rate increases that were announced on grains. That on the contention that the 50% increase for wheat may be out of line with the 20% increase for corn. Critics say that this seems to be to represent a departure from longstanding USDA policy aimed at allowing wheat to enter into feed channels, even if price supports
right.
are used.
Well, that was one of the considerations. I know I talked to the president, and he was concerned about this, and of course he could adjust again if he needed to on the corn side. Right now, the corn producer isn't, you know, it's not as good as it was, but it's not bad. The wheat producer is really in a depressed status. I don't know what the cash price is today, but it's not very good. We thought maybe the increase in loan rates would start the market in the other direction, but we're going to have a big buildup of wheat. We're not going to have any buildup of corn, so I don't see that happening, but it is a danger, and it's one we have to watch, because if we get into that problem, we're going to have to adjust the loan rates again. Another thing that some farmers are concerned about, they don't want the loan rates to be so high as to get the government back in the grain business. We went through that, and we saw what happens because it depresses prices. And so I think the president did just about the right thing. I think the relationship is just a little bit heavy on the side of wheat, but it can be adjusted if necessary.
You don't see the possibility, Senator, that the wheat loan would be high enough to generate stimulate production in this country and abroad to the point that we would have supplies hanging over prices.
I don't think so. If our figures on cost of production are accurate, it's still below the cost of production in most places, and farmers do like to make a little profit. I think it's about right. Some wanted $3. I think that would have been high, but some wanted $2. It seemed to me that 2.25 is about right. It's still 4 cents below the target price of $2.29, and it seems to me to be a fair compromise, and it's an indication. I think the biggest, in addition to easing up some credit in some of these banks, I think it also indicates the farmers that President Ford is concerned, and he knows they're out there, and they have some problems.
Proposals dealing with buffer stocks on cotton, Senator. Proposals were dealing with buffer stocks were expected to be a major issue at the annual meeting of the International Cotton Advisory Committee this week in San Francisco. The United States in the past has opposed creation of international buffer stocks of cotton. Do you see any chance for a change or modification in this position in the future? And if not, why not?
Well, I think, and again, I don't know you. I'm probably just going to guess on this question because I'm not certain of any change in our position. There may be. I just haven't checked this, so I wouldn't want to say there's been no change. I think we have the same, want to exercise the same good judgment on buffer stocks, so whether it's cotton or any other grain, so it's not used as a depressant later on. We've got to free it from, in other words, insulate it from the market price. In the marketplace, not market price, the marketplace. Beyond that, I don't know that I could shed much light on that one.
They, you mentioned, Senator, in your talk, in an off, an extraneous remark,
right,
so to speak, on the implications of Jimmy Carter has said that he will withdraw atomic weapons from South Korea and pull out troops, U.S. troops there over a period of time. And then you saw some implications in this, perhaps, for our cotton sales to Korea. Would you elaborate on this?
Well, I think the biggest implication is that, and again, would be critical, but it seemed to be a lack of understanding of our policy in that part of the country, that part of the world. You know, Japan is very important to us, and sort of South Korea is very important to us, and they're important to each other. Beyond that, as I pointed up in my remarks, South Korea does buy about $250 million of cotton. And if we're going to pull all of our troops out of there in the next 4 or 5 years and remove any weapons we have, I'm not certain what will happen, what the fate of South Korea will be. It just seems to me there's an added factor. There's a market to consider there. I don't suggest we have troops stationed there and anything else for a market, but I suggest this is something that could follow. I think it's very bad policy to recommend troop cuts in that part of the world or troop cuts in Europe right now. You know, I haven't seen any real easing of tensions until we get some ironclad agreement with the Russians and the People's Republic of China, insofar as South Korea is concerned, because they're the principal country concerned there. I think it's in our interest, in the interest of the free world, that we keep our troop strength up.
Senator, that's fine.
Well, thank you.